We're reading the sermon text this morning is Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. And this is what Luke is saying. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why are your doubts arising in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And then he said to them, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still not believing for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with the power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the blessing of your word made flesh, that it was living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joint and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. May we this day see Christ's name exalted. In his name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Got a little frog in my throat. This morning, our sermon text is on the subject of the benediction of our worship. The reason I selected this topic is because we often overlook the importance of the benediction and don't realize the magnitude of this part of our worship. So, what is a benediction? Is it an announcement to let everyone know that the meeting is over? Or, unfortunately, it's perceived as a kind of churchy Hallmark sentiment. It's a recitation of familiar closing passages that we hear all the time. The words may tend to cease to really have their holy blessing, and it becomes a pastor's code of the service's ending. A congregation's heads up and collect all your stuff. You may ask, what more needs to be added to the close of a worship? The pastor's already covered all his bases. The benediction sometimes becomes a long-awaited signal that the church is over, and hearing the amen that concludes the benediction is what everybody's waiting for. Well, that's far from the truth. So again, the question is, what is the benediction? In our scripture reading this morning, we read about the final moments that Jesus had with his disciples before his ascension into heaven. In this last chapter of Luke's gospel, he tells of the disciples' eyes being opened from the breaking of bread, Jesus is appearing to his disciples and blessing them with peace. And Jesus opens the scriptures to his disciples and tells them of the promise of the Father. And finally, he lifts up his hands and blesses them, and he ascends into heaven. So how did the disciples respond to Jesus' benediction? They worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem as he had instructed them, and with great joy praised and blessed God. It's interesting that just as Jesus ascended, he lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. Well, as the great high priest of the new covenant, he was giving to them his benediction in the same way that the Lord spoke to Aaron through Moses in Numbers chapter 6. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Well, this threefold divine blessing was pronounced by the priest with, as it says in Leviticus, with uplifted hands. It was begin as a general blessing and then to an invocation of God's favor and his presence. And finally, with a climatic mention of the peace that comes only with God's gracious presence. The pronouncement of this blessing placed God's covenant name, Yahweh, upon the people. To be clear, this benediction was no announcement. It was a pronouncement. On the one hand, an announcement is just giving a public notice of, you know, some facts that took place. However, a pronouncement is giving a formal declaration. It is an act of passing judgment. Let's take a closer look at the parts of Aaron's benediction. And it says, the beginning, he says, the Lord bless you. Yahweh's personal endowment was his richest benedictions, his richest benefits. He assures us that his love envelopes their comings and their goings, and that his favor infuses all their days. It is God's own hand upon their heads, his own table spread before them in the presence of their enemies. And next he says, and keep you. God promises our safe passage through the wild wildernesses that we occur in life, that occur to us in life, and the enemies and ambushes that overtake us. It is God before us and his blessing, and God behind us. It is the Lord completing what he started in us through Christ, and the assurance that will guard our souls until we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, this benediction continues, and he says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. We all know that there are plenty of dark nights in our lives, but the Lord promises that those who long for this blessing will rest in the shining light of our Savior Jesus Christ and his presence as it is in a bright, sunny morning. And then Aaron continues, and he says, and be gracious to you. Every word of this blessing is grace. But here it is, with uncertain terms, we are sinners set free from the sting of death. Here we are with the Father's robe of righteousness thrown over our dirty rags, and a banquet spread before we who are beggars. Here is David's song. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Well, Aaron continues in his blessing, and he says, the Lord lift up his countenance towards you. This part of the blessing assures us that we have God's full attention. Why? Because the Lord's love for us and knows that what we need even before we ask. This blessing secures us because the King Jesus, his work of righteousness is on our behalf. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace because God will look on us, answer us, listen to us, and attend to our needs. Well, finally, in Aaron's benediction, he says, and give you peace. We are blessed by the King of Peace. Even when the bottom falls out in the markets and our children wander away, or when the doctor's words are gloomy, or relationships are stormy, Jesus, the King of Salem, echoes his blessings when he says, my peace I leave with you. And behind the curtain of this blessing of peace are the portals of glory and our promise of the day when there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. Well, as we've seen in Aaron's blessing, we see it as a benediction, and that it is indeed. But more specifically, the benediction is a speaking of goodwill. Well, let's look further. In Genesis 1, 6 times God says, he says, it is good. He creates, and he says, it is good. This is his blessing upon his work. God is giving his benediction each and every day. Also, let's look at some other examples of blessings, even in our own everyday lives. A father blesses his children, just as our Father blesses us. And he says, may you do well, longing for their good. But more than that, a father blesses them with his inheritance. He doesn't just wish them good, but he commits to them his wealth. God's actions have substance. His words have substance, just as in creation. Look further, let's look at Jacob's last words to his sons. And they are being blessed, their blessings are being mixed with prophecy. The scripture says, Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Then Jacob begins with Reuben, the firstborn, and gives his pronouncement on each son. Then, as his benediction, he blesses each one according to his blessing. Let's think of some events, other events today, that where we look at benedictions. The toast of a wedding is a type of blessing. This gesture, which includes some libation of a drink after a toast, is given to the audience. When a lot of times they'll say, may you live happily ever after. Also, ceremonial ship launchings is a process of transferring a ship to the water. It is an old Navy tradition. A public celebration, and it's a solemn benediction blessing, which is confirmed by the breaking of sacrificial bottle of Chardonnay. No, not Chardonnay. Champagne over the bow. Well, looking at blessings, It's more than just mere wishes, but it's less than an imperative word. If you say, I wish you didn't have a cold, you're expressing goodwill to someone, but this is not necessarily a benediction. If you say to a child, never steal from the store, this is an imperative. It's not a benediction. Here we're commanding our child to be honest. However, there are times where a command may be hidden within a benediction. For example, Paul gives his benediction to the Romans and he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, the imperative, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we are seeing, there is more to a benediction than the simple definition of speaking goodwill. It is performative in nature. Benediction is performative in nature. As I said earlier, these actions of utterance have substance. The benedictions in the Bible communicate spiritual realities. Performative language refers to speech as an action performing a particular function. The utterance itself is the action intended. In other words, when someone makes a promise or forgives someone, this is performative. These benedictions are from God by his representative, as we saw in Aaron. Let's take some other examples of benedictions. A school graduation. The president's statement in Acts, the state of affairs when it is addressed. And they may say something like this. Now, by virtue of the authority vested by the law of the Board of Regents of Kentucky system, I confer upon each of you the respective academic degree for which you have been recommended, with all the rights and privileges and responsibilities and obligations appertaining thereof. So, this pronouncement is bestowing the degree to the students awarded by the university. The president is acting on behalf of the Board of Regents. When the minister, during a wedding ceremony, says, I pronounce you husband and wife, this is a performative statement. Even though a civil servant may give a license and it may be signed, and the vows may be given to each other, it's not until the minister makes his performative pronouncement that they are indeed married. At that very moment, they have now become a new creation. They have now become one. As God spoke into his being his creation, the minister speaking on behalf of he who created marriage pronounces them husband and wife. Douglas Grofus, I hope I pronounced his last name correctly, makes this comment. He says, the act of pronouncing a benediction invokes a future in which goodness dwells. Beyond wishing, it commends goodness on the one receiving it. In some cases, the act of benediction confers some quality of existence to the one so addressed. God has the metaphysical and moral status to give benedictions that achieve the ends he desires. Since his judgments are true and his power is unlimited, the world is fallen, God is good, Christians are spokespeople for these two truths. Therefore, even in suffering, Christ followers may receive God's benediction. Francis Schaeffer says in his book, he is there and he is not silent. He is giving his benedictions. And so, that being the case, God extends his blessings through the benediction at the close of each worship service. What is he saying? Is that the benediction has power from God to give meaning to our whole lives. It is to shape our lives so that as we go out into the world, we serve the Lord as his image bearers. You see, when Israel received the benediction blessing from Aaron, and when we receive it even today, it is God's promise to be with us and his call for us to be a blessing wherever we go. We are to carry his name with us. In that sense, it's a lot like baptism. The benediction blessing comes from above, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The mark of baptism is always upon you and me. It is a sign and seal of our initiation into the body of Christ, reminding us that God is with us and we are called to live under the power of God for all to see. We are blessed to be a blessing. That was the Lord's point in giving his blessing to Israel and to us this morning. We are to be a blessing to all the nations. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was to establish his kingdom by giving his blessing to those with him and through them to the whole world around them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Jesus' offering of his blessing was not simply to be happy, as some translations of the Bible have to say. No, it was his benediction upon those who were listening on how they were to live. If the whole worship service this morning has been a dress rehearsal of life, and it is, now, as the service ends, it's time to start living differently as God's blessing and his commission to us is to go back to our families, our communities, our marketplaces as God's particular people. The benediction is the final service God renders to his congregation as a whole on the Lord's Day. Ordinarily, the benediction is to be performed by an ordained pastor, so that the congregation will be held and be left with no doubt that it is the Lord who blesses them with his appointed representative. Through the pastor's words, the Lord assures us of his peace, his promises, and his gracious presence as we leave his special presence in the midst of his assembled human temple. And as Paul says, know you not that you all are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are now to return to the world. So this morning, as we come to the close of the Lord's special presence with us, may we remember that because we are baptized, marked image bearers of the high and holy King of heaven, we are given the task of taking dominion of his creation, being fruitful and multiplying, making all things new. We have his benediction, blessing, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Father, that you give to us all things that we need to honor you. We thank you for the congregation, for the body of Christ, to be to the world a light, to be to the world salt, that Jesus, your name, would be exalted. In his name we pray. Amen.